everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I got a great show today. I have someone I have the greatest respect for. That whole career field, in my opinion, deserves more credit than they get. Let me just put it that way. And that's Chief Tom Simons from the Pittsfield Fire Department. And Chief, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for coming on. As for people that don't know, my dad was a firefighter in Pittsfield, reached the rank of lieutenant for about 37 years. So I have a special affinity for firefighters. My father wanted me to be a fireman. I told you the story, Chief. And I said, Dad, it takes a special person to run into a burning building. And I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted you on, I had Chief Dolly on, and this show will be on Monday. The reason I had you on is because the 4th of July parade is a lot of work. I mean, it's 2+ hours of people really having fun and enjoying themselves. But there's a lot of goings on behind the scene, and especially in today's world.
Yeah.
As we saw this weekend.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The fire department is always there. They're there for hazmat, the EMS. You guys had to put a lot of planning, you and the chief and the Department of Public Works, Vinny. And what I want the people to understand, it just doesn't happen.
Oh, no. Well, there's a lot of behind the scenes with the whole parade committee.
They exactly.
The mayor has been involved. I think he said 22. I could be mistaken.
Yeah.
Well over 2 years. So
yeah.
He's I've been for the last 4 as chief, but before that as deputy chief. And then, as one of the marchers, I've always marched or ridden.
Yeah.
Been involved in it, one way or another. So always enjoy it. Love a parade.
The job has changed a lot since you come on, though.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
My poor father used to say, we find the fire and we squirt water on it.
Yep.
But getting ready for this parade in the world today, and I don't want you to give any secrets out, but it took staging and planning and all to be what's this thing? Plan for hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Yes. Yes. So we work with our partners at MEMA. They were here. And there's, there's the whole law enforcement aspect that Tommy Dolly talks about. So we had MEMA's mobile command center here. Our parade in Pittsfield is one of the bigger parades, and it's people watch it all over the world.
Yep.
And so we plan on that. We plan on all the parts of it from an emergency standpoint, and many different, every kind of emergency you can imagine has to be planned for.
Exactly.
And, what do you do if we're going to have a severe thunderstorm at 10 a.m. when it's about to start, or what do you do if you have an active shooter or somebody in a vehicle like we saw last fall. So
yeah,
you got to plan on as much as you can plan for.
Right.
And fortunately, thank goodness that we just have a great time, and the plans are put on the shelf and then they're redone the next year. So.
And it, yes. And I think they get updated as the world changes. And that used to be a soap opera as the world changes. But I a little bit of my background, now when I was operational, we didn't have drones. We didn't have any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go on the internet and find out how to do something.
Yes.
And I guess what I'm saying is that today's And I'm gonna say this, and I'll probably get ridiculed, but I get ridiculed every day for everything I say. But the people that are in the protective services today are real heroes. I mean, if you watch that situation on the weekend, those people surrounded the president with their own bodies.
Yes.
I just have to make an aside, Chief. Now, watch some wingnut on TV. I'm sorry, did I say wingnut? That's an insult to wingnuts. Criticize the young lady in the Secret Service who stood right in front of Trump. Now, maybe she wasn't 9 foot tall, but they had other people who were 9 foot tall. She put her life on the line. I was incensed when I heard that.
No, they should get a lot of credit for what they do. You know, they literally run in front of bullets. So
yeah,
you know, saw that with President Reagan years ago.
Yeah, yeah. The guy that got shot was his father was. I was in the academy. His father was just out of the academy. His father was a police officer in Springfield.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember his name, but I can't remember where the car is. So, jeez, don't ever get old.
I'm trying not to.
Yeah, now, let's resolve. Did they resolve not closing a station during the budget hearings? I hope.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was all quelled. It took a lot of back and forth. You know, we had to change some of our operational stuff, but we all worked together as a team and made it happen. So the city's safe.
Yeah, I can remember going through that a couple of times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it always got down to, okay, Mr. Councilperson, we'll close the station in your district. Oh, no, you can't close that one. So,
no,
but
we're good. We're good.
But how long did going back to the parade, how long did it take to get everything set? You worked with a big team to do it. And you're right. The parade committee, the only mistake I think they made in the whole parade was naming me the marshal. But everybody's entitled to one mistake. But, yeah. You know, I can remember my father when the firemen ran it.
Yes. They had the muster and the parade.
But it took hours, Chief.
Oh, yeah.
Day. I don't just mean hours. It took weeks, the planning. I can remember him going off and taking notes and coming back and making phone because nobody had cell phones then. You had to go to a landline.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit down with your management team, what are some of the things you're looking at without giving any secrets away?
Right. So we actually work with MEMA, and we use all of the planning documents that MEMA has. So there's a, you know, an EMS plan, there's a communications plan, there's the weather plan, there's, you know, there's everything for staging, for, you know, who's in charge, update all the phone numbers, update who's in what position, you know, so if something did happen, you know, you have a hard printed plan that everybody has.
Right. So
refer to it. And, you know, MEMA makes that user friendly. And then, you know, the following year, you update it. And if there's any additional, a new threat, you know, I suppose an emerging threat, you know, these days are drones.
Yeah, they really,
you know, how they've been used in Ukraine and.
Yeah.
You know, you're afraid someday they're going to be used here the same way. So, you know, that's an emerging threat. So I'm sure there'll be a plan on that in the future. But, you know.
Yeah. The piece, I mean, it, to me, it is, and I worked on a huge project, a very big, and the all the moving parts that have to move smoothly, or it can be a real, you know, not disaster, but just an awful issues and things like that, like the EMS and closing of the roads, and what if somebody goes down? And you know, when I was a kid, we always stood on Wakona Street. So you know, when you we used to, I can remember years and years ago when I was a kid, an ambulance coming through the park, down Seymour through the parking lot, and to not to interfere with the play a parade, and then picking the person up. Somebody passed out from the heat, I guess.
Yeah, yep.
So, did you have any calls during the parade?
We did. We had a few. That were, I think, heat related, or you know, yep. People not prepared and got sick during the parade, and they. But you know, you didn't really see much. It was all pre-planned. We have all of our engine companies staged. The ambulances are all staged. And we know how to, you know, we have our travel routes and everything, how we're going to go from point A to point B, and it worked flawless. So,
yeah, considering the hospital is in, I mean, to complicate things, the construction around the hospital and the hospital is right in the middle of the parade route.
Yes. So,
yeah. That took some planning. And I think too, what you just said is the routes. You know, and again, for the people that are out there, we go to the parade, we sit down, we have a great time, we bring the family and the kids, but there are people stationed all around in the event of an emergency, in the event somebody gets sick, passes out, or God forbid, criminal activities, to respond. And the months and time that it takes to figure that out. What if somebody gets sick on, say, Weller Ave?
Right.
How are you going to get to them? North Street's a mess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's all planned out. We're already ready to rock. So
you get, I lately, because I don't go out when it's hot like this, because I have some breathing issues.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like, you guys, how many calls do you get a day?
Oh, God. Over 20.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah.
You know,
some of them are back to back.
Yeah. Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, there's calls going on in the background. I didn't turn my speaker down. So
that's all right.
It's
good. Let the people hear it. I mean, the whole purpose, I started in this business to be informative, educational, and have a few laughs along the way. And I think too often, it jumped out at me this year. I'll be very candid. It jumped out at me this year. People really don't understand what the school department does, or the fire department, that when they come, there's a lot of other things the fire department does that some are very dangerous. We have hazmat and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I drove by the old GE, and it is an end of an era.
It is. Those buildings.
Oh, Chief, those buildings were never meant to be torn down.
No.
I saw some of the I-beams that the guy was cutting to get on a railroad car.
Yeah.
Can't even make that size anymore.
No.
You know? Right. But the calls, to me, maybe it's just me, but have they increased?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we actually, during COVID, we phased out some of the calls that we didn't need to go on because of the threat of COVID.
Right.
And we pretty much stopped going at like general weakness. You know, if somebody's having a, you know, general weakness, they don't really need a fire truck to show up. And an ambulance will respond. We'll respond if there's a delay or, you know, there's circumstances.
Yeah.
But even with that, our call volume is still over 10,000 calls a year. Yeah. So it's gone up. It's gone up. And that's with taking some of our calls out. It's still going up every year. So.
And I have to say too that, and I've said this in the past. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it another 20 or 30 times. I'm very comfortable knowing I got a fire truck 6 minutes from me at most.
Oh, at the yeah.
Yeah, at most.
I'm like four.
Most of the time, I hear the call and see the truck go by.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And I think for, you know, we talk a lot about an aging city. Pittsfield is an aging city. Well, you can disagree with me if you want, but I believe our fire department is aware of that and is alert to that issue just by the way they handle calls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually, it's comforting to know how, you know, well we respond and the bedside manner and, you know, during emergency operations, how caring are the firemen.
Yeah.
They're firefighters.
Yeah. And being a person who could need it this afternoon or 10 minutes from now, it's nice to know that we have that. And that's citywide. And all firefighters and that are EMTs are, and I have to take my hat off to both ambulance crews too.
Yep.
They do a magnificent job, but are you having problems recruiting or not?
No. We just had three probational firefighters finish the 4 week academy.
Oh, cool.
They just hit the floor this week, and they'll be going to the 10 week academy this fall. So that's. That, you know, I say that two guys retired this July. We had a guy, a long-term disability, come off the books. We had one kid. We started with four. We ended with three. So, excuse me, one of our candidates dropped out. He didn't like heights. So he couldn't do the 100-foot ladder climb. So, you know, and with other retirees, I now have five openings. So you're never fully staffed. You know, as hard as you try, you plan on it, and you're never fully staffed. So we'll going to be looking to, you know, it's a civil service position,
right?
Civil service. So we have an established list. So this fall we'll do another hiring. We interviewed a lot of people for the four positions that we tried to get this spring. So we already know what the candidates look like. We've already started the background investigations.
Cool.
So this fall we'll be able to try to get another five, and we'll see what we end, you know, what we get.
Yeah, that was another reason I'm not a firefighter, because heights.
Yeah.
I didn't mind jumping out of planes, but because it was quick.
Mm-hmm.
The fall, it's the sudden stop that kills you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you're getting recruits. I really am, because, you know, law enforcement, they're having, I don't know about Pittsfield, but nationally they're having a lot of problems getting recruits to come on the job. And you know, it's kind of sad. And I don't want to put you in a jet. I'm not a civil service guy anymore.
Right.
I was. Then we got a union. And I found the union was quicker than civil service, because you know, and I know, it can take civil service. I'm still waiting on a decision, and I had long, blonde, curly hair when I started.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a little antiquated, I would say. I think there's better ways of doing it. And that's my
personal. Yeah, no, that I, and yeah, I don't want to put you. And like some of the cops have told me that they agree it's time to get out, because what bothers me the most, and I've said this about to Chief Dolly, and I'll say it to you, I used to bother me with Chief Wynn. Do you get called up at the budget hearings and they're mad at the chief for the overtime?
Yep.
Well, they have to understand it takes so many people to run a fire station. It takes so many cops on the beat.
Yep.
And if the bodies aren't there, then you have to overtime. You just made it very true, a very true, very interesting statement. I don't ever remember ever either the fire or the police being fully staffed.
No. We never are. And, you know,
nature of the
I
beast.
think it's harder with the police. They have a harder time recruiting. But, you know, here I am. I'm five short right now, you know, and I have another really good guy retiring in November or December. So, you know, there'll be another opening, you know.
Yeah.
But we plan on it. We plan for it. And it takes, you know, it takes bodies here to, you know, in every station. And, you know, then when you have emergencies where you got to call people in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens. Overtime is a part of the job.
And again, I think there's ways around it. Antiquated is a very kind word for civil service. I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but when you've got to wait and wait to get a list, and then when you get the list, then it gets that. You know, there has to be a better. This is the 21st century.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think there's better ways of doing it. You know, civil service, you know, way back, when I was a junior firefighter, when they had station closings, we lost guys. We lost good guys.
Yeah.
All of them came back. You know, they went down east, to different departments down east, and they never came back to Pittsfield. You know, when we went to rehire during that time.
Oh, I remember that.
So, you know, you're always fighting an uphill battle, but that's what we signed up for. So I can't.
Yeah. One of the things, and I was saying this to Chief Dolly and others, what I found, and this is to you too, you join the fire service to be a firefighter and you've gone up the ladder. But what I found when I was working, the further up the ladder you went, the further away from the job you signed up for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I pretty much, I don't put an air pack on and go and burning buildings anymore. But, well, yes, I'm on the regional dive team.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were training in Anoda Lake.
Good
so
for you.
I got to dive yesterday and, you know, so I still keep my feet wet, if you will. And I'm still a hazmat technician for the state District 5 hazmat. So,
wow.
You know, I still like to, you know, I love the job. The fact of the matter is I love the job and I, you know, love everybody that works here. So,
yeah.
you
Yeah,
know.
My dad told me one of the saddest days in his life was the day that he had to retire.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he worked up to the last day.
Yeah, 37 years.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. I showed you his hat.
Yep.
The
yep.
old helmets. What's the most dangerous part of the job today? I mean, really and truly.
Well, I think, you know, the most dangerous is when, you know, you got to make that call, risk versus benefit.
Right.
And, you know, as a deputy chief on the fire ground, you got to make the call. Do you, you know, we have a rescue to make. And going in very, you know, dangerous conditions to make a rescue,
yeah,
I think, in my opinion, is still the most dangerous part of the job. You know, there's a lot of dangerous aspects to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. And then I agree. That's why I say there, all of them are, because they never know we're going to have to make that call.
Right.
For every one time you get on the truck that it's nothing, there's probably five times when it could be really serious. And
yeah, and it is.
You and know? It is, yeah. You've had some big fires lately too.
Yeah. We are, you know, and you know what? The big fires make the paper, but
yeah,
there's several times a week that
oh, I hear.
we get fires. Yeah, we catch them in the incipient stage, so it never really gets going. You know, a pot on a stove that where, you know, the oil catches on fire and, you know, it starts the kitchen on fire. you know, never makes the paper. No one ever hears anything about it. And or over this time of the year, my little plug, air conditioners, never ever plug an air conditioner into a extension cord, always straight into a wall, because the electrical outlets in your house are rated for a air conditioner, not a extension cord. So, but we go to overheated stuff all the time.
You know, since we first met and you started telling me that, I have I'm a believer in not just extension cords, those plug bars.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and you're right. Some are very high grade. They're 40, 50 bucks, but I still don't do it. I've got one for the TV and all that. Cost me like 40 bucks.
Yep.
And then I got the one that cost me six. That's what we're using.
Yeah. I threw all them away.
Yeah, I gotta start replacing them. I'll run up to Car Hardware. Those are the things too that the fire department is so aware of. And I'm glad you said that, because now people, when we're off the air, stop, go, and check where your air conditioner is. And when the heat comes on, check where you plug in your heater. Because they suck a lot of juice.
Yes, and they overheat. It's amazing. It's amazing. We do them. We go every week. You know, at least one a week this time of the year. And you know what? I'm a firm believer that it's only going to get hotter. So you know, our summers are going to get hotter, and you know, people that don't have the outlets they should have and the place they'd like them to be, you know, you're going to have to make alterations. You know, so.
And the thing, and we're going to take a break here. I'm with Chief Tom Sammons. He's the chief of the Pittsfield Police Fire Department. God, I'm telling you, mine's a terrible thing to lose. If you find mine, drop it off on the porch.
I'll look for it.
But it's important to know, we started the show about planning for the parade. And I'm really a nutcase on that this year. Well, most of you know I'm a nutcase anyhow, but all the planning that goes into it, from police, fire, highway department, the parade committee, the parade people, the volunteers, PCTV, WTBR. And there we go. And I was very honored and privileged this year to just ride down the street. But usually I stand in front of St. Joseph's Church, because it has everything I need: food, shade, water, restroom. But
there you go.
Yeah. The Pittsfield Fire Department, all fire departments, the people who join that career field, to me, are all heroes. They don't like to hear that, but every time that alarm goes off and they get on that truck, could be their last ride.
Yeah.
Every time a cop gets a call, it could be his or her last call.
Yeah.
So what did I say now? Tamper down the rhetoric. How about just discontinue the nastiness and hatred? We'll be right back. And by the way, some of you know this. This is my flag. This is my flag. A lot of people that I know are buried under this flag. Mm-hmm. Please don't desecrate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can have your opinion, but please don't desecrate this flag. Like I said, if you don't believe me, go to St. Joseph's Cemetery, go up on the hill, get out of your car, walk up to the cross and look, and you'll see thousands of these flags flying in the breeze. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We'll be back with Chief Sammons, Pittsfield Fire Department, and a head of a great group of people. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, everybody, we're back. I'm here with Chief Tom Sammons. He is the chief of the Pittsfield Fire Department. We talked initially about the parade, getting ready for the parade. And the shortage of firefighters and the budget and all that stuff, that's kind of a topic we've touched upon. He's fortunate in this respect that he can get fire people trying to be firefighters. And the good news is, really good news, you have female firefighters now.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I remember when we got the first female police officers. And some of the old walls are breaking down and they're all proving themselves to be up to the task, is I guess what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And I want to just stress this point. I did it in the first half hour. There was some person, try to clean it up, Chief. There is some person on the television who said, you know, about the young, I shouldn't say young, the Secret Service officer, female Secret Service officer, who threw herself in front of Trump after he had been shot, being a human shield. She wasn't tall enough to cover his face. Well, Trump's a big guy. I'm not tall enough to, but here was the point I want to make. She put her life on the line.
Uh-huh.
She put her life on the line. So I don't care what gender you are, how old you are. When you do stuff like that, don't be, please, news media, don't be criticizing people.
Right.
I mean,
I'll tell you that, you know, we have two female firefighters.
Yeah.
And both of them are hard hitters. They're both of them show up to do the job, and they do the job as good or better than their male counterparts. So we are more than happy, you know. Was born when they started, they broke the glass ceiling, and they've proven that they can do anything anybody else can do.
Yeah. And so, isn't that rewarding?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it opens up a whole new group of people with different eyes, different feelings, different again, I just wish some of these people would just. And I know a lot of people feel bad about me, too. I get the emails, folks. Don't worry. I don't plan on going anywhere, even though you wished I would. So the calls, and the chief made a very good point for those just tuning in, because it's a morning show, Chief. Sometimes I like to repeat things.
Mm-hmm.
Chief just made one, I think, especially this time of the year, one of the most important comments of this broadcast. If you have an air conditioner, and when the cold weather comes, if you have a heater, plug it into the wall.
Yeah. No extension cords.
To include them things you plug into, like 47 things in them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Right into the wall. That's that way nothing gets overheated. This time of the year, as I mentioned before, we constantly have overheated receptacles and extension cords, and it's just because heaters, anything that heats or cools, uses so much electricity, and if the cord isn't designed for it, it overheats and it burns and it, you know, starts on fire. And we actually have them that we bring for fire talks.
Oh wow.
That we kept, you know, and so we can prove it, you know. So you got to buy quality stuff. You got to buy, and you know, thing with lithium ion batteries now, they're faking the UL listing stickers on them.
Oh.
And they do that with a lot of stuff. So not only with lithium ion batteries, but with extension cords and everything else. So you know, you gotta buy quality electrical equipment.
There's no question about it, and you know, I see people all the time with, in my opinion, and I'm not a firefighter, I don't know, Jack, but I do know about bombs, and what I see people storing their, you know, cooking supplies, the helium, you know what I mean?
Propane,
there it is. Mine's a terrible thing to lose, Chief, I'm telling you. Propane in the house, in the garage, in the shed. Hello?
Yep.
Really and truly.
Yeah, we've had them where they've been in, you know, garages. And, you know, once the, if they're on fire and they heat up, you know, and the frangible disc breaks, you know, they off gas.
Yeah.
And we've had little propane, you know, torches for welding or for, you know, soldering pipes. Had a couple of those over the years. Well, recently we had one at a construction site. It was a space heater because they wanted to dry out the inside of a structure. And it got hot enough where it actually bled, actually blew up, and it was on their security camera. So we have that footage.
Yeah.
It happened early in the morning when no one was around. But boy, if that happened at a different time, different location, that was a bomb. And
wow.
It was amazing.
And all this household stuff, too, you know, they used to, Chief, and this is an unfair question, but I don't mean to catch you, but I'm trying to figure, where they used to have it where you could bring all this hazardous stuff to the city yard. Are they going to continue to do that? You know?
They do that once a year. They do the, the surrounding towns do it, and then at different times. And the city of Pittsfield does it, I want to say, in the fall. That's something that Commissioner Morales organized.
Okay.
So they'll put that out.
Yeah.
If I know,
I'll announce it to pieces.
Yeah, I'll shoot you an email.
Please. Because that to me is so important. You know, we had a little outshot outside, it was like a doghouse, actually, away from the house, where we stored the gasoline cans.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my father was a fanatic on that kind of stuff. And I think, too, that some of it is, we're lulled into feeling safe.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's you well approved. Well, you know, it's to me, we got to be on top of things, and we have to be responsible for ourselves. We can't blame everybody else all the time.
Right.
You know, well, when I think back on when I was a kid and we used to burn the leaves in the gutter, remember that?
Yeah.
It was a lot easier. But outside fires, what's the gig on that now?
Well,
have to be contained in a thing or something?
So you can't burn leaves, but you can burn brush. And you can burn brush from January 1st to April 30th, right? But you can only burn brush. And then the rest of the year, you can have a contained cooking fire for the purpose of, you know, of cooking.
Okay.
So that's legal in the state. But, you know, it has to be monitored. You can't walk away from it. You know, and my big thing is for doing this for the past 28 years, anytime that you have an open flame, you have a potential for a catastrophe.
Right.
Anytime you have an open flame. So that's a candle in your house. That's a fire in your backyard. And it is proven, you know, cigarette smoking, you know, that's, you know, you're burning.
Still,
all that stuff. I've been to countless fires that were started by an open flame, whether it was a outside fire that got away from the people and caught the shed on fire, or caught the side of the house on fire, or ran up the side of a hill, or a candle in a house. cigarettes all the time. So it's, you know, anytime you have open flame, there's a potential that it's going to get out of hand.
And more and more, I see people having candles. Every place we seem to visit now, they have candles.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm son of a fireman, firefighter. That even my wife, but hers is on the stove.
Yep, I was just going to say that's a good place for them.
Yep, on the stove. Well, you know, insisted on that when she let me. I want people to pay attention to this because, you know, what's the old saying? I think Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention cuts the head off of bad luck.
Yeah.
And picture a fire department. The other thing is about the changing. Mine chirp when the batteries are dead or dying. And I don't wait. I immediately change them.
Yep. But
at best, and I never knew this. You actually, Chief, you taught me this. The fire smoke and heat detectors are only good for about 10 years.
Now they're 10 years. Yep. Yeah, and you can't even take the batteries out now. So they're batteries that are inside the unit. The unit goes up in 2024, and it'll start chirping at the end of its life. It might not go 10 years. Maybe you'll get 8 years out of it, but you know, it's all on the battery that's in it. And then it gets thrown away and you
get a new one.
Yep. Yep. And yep. Same CO detectors or combinations.
Yeah. So, and don't procrastinate.
No.
If you throw it away, don't say, when the next time I go somewhere, make it a point that you do that. Cause I'm like that. I'm a procrastinator, you know, but with certain things, this time of the year, the air conditioners are running full blast all the time.
Uh-huh.
And please, the chief has said it over and over. We'll say it again. Plug them in the wall.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put you on a spot, but you know all this stuff. How often should you get your chimney cleaned?
Well, it depends.
If you burn wood.
Yeah, if you burn wood, definitely at the beginning of the heating season. You know, don't go, it's been sitting all summer, you haven't been using it. It's got buildup from the year before, and now it's got, you know, whatever's fallen down over that summer. Get it cleaned in the fall before the heating season starts. Make sure everything works. You know, make sure that the shelf on the upside inside the chimney's cleaned out. You know, and then same for wood stove piping, all that needs to get cleaned out. Creosote builds up inside there.
Yep.
Don't burn pine in your house. You know, pine creates nothing but problems, you know, just hardwood. So.
Yeah. And that, thank you for that. That's an excellent point. I know of someone who had a pine tree cut down and started burning it in their fireplace. And I said, all I can remember is my father would never, because that all that creosote builds up, and the next thing you know, you got a blowtorch blowing out your ceiling, or your chimney. 911 calls.
Mm-hmm.
What? You get so many of those.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And the chief said in the first half of the show, during COVID, they curtailed some. Just do a 30 seconds why you did that, chief.
Well, during COVID, you know, we stopped going on some of our calls, some of our medical calls, for general weakness, because it wasn't really, you didn't really need a fire truck there for general weakness. But that being said, even though we stopped doing, and those, you'd be surprised how many people call 911 for general weakness.
Especially elderly people, because they get scared.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still an emergency to them.
Yeah.
But at the time during COVID, we stopped doing them to lessen our exposure. We didn't, We didn't, you know what COVID was. And it was deadly. Let's face the facts, you know.
Yeah.
But we stopped doing those, and we haven't picked, don't, yeah, I mean, if somebody calls and they're having an issue and they need a fire, if they need our
right
first respond, we respond without a doubt. But even that being said, we still do more calls every year. We do more calls than the last, and it's forever increasing with the same amount of people all the time.
As I said to the chief, now that it's hot and I don't go out as much as I turn the scanner on it for entertainment, because it helps me understand all that's going on in the city. And I'd rather listen to them go on calls than television. And I won't go into that reason. But when you hear the volume of calls between the police and the fire, I am truly amazed with the professionalism and the expertise that they do, and the backup of the ambulance companies, County Ambulance and Action.
Uh-huh.
But first and foremost, in most cases, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but in most cases, a fire truck is there.
Yeah, well, you know, we're spread out around the city. You know, headquarters is the hub, and then there's four outlying stations that are, you know, kind of like the outside of a wheel. So we have a quicker response. We get there first. We start whatever the emergency is, and the ambulance gets there a couple of minutes behind us. And you know, in most cases, we've got the patient, you know, ready to go, and then we'll transfer care over to the ambulance people, and they'll take them to the hospital.
I guess the point I'm trying to make to the viewers, and you know, your tax dollars that everybody's worried about. Hey, I'm worried about tax dollars. I used to be on a fixed income. Now I'm on a shrinking income. Yeah. Cut me way back. I'm eating hot dogs a lot more. But as far as these departments, just listen, get a scanner. Listen to them. They never stop. They get all kinds of calls. I've heard of them. They're leaving one call to go to another. I mean, it's that, or Engine 6, which is here on Holmes Road, get called to a thing in the North End because Engine 5 and a couple of the others somewhere else.
Yep.
So, here's a question. Last time you were on, I got asked this, and I couldn't answer it. What is the difference between an engine and a truck?
So an engine company in the city of Pittsfield, has a minimum of 750 gallons of water on board.
Okay.
We have a roof ladder and a ground ladder, but that's all we have for ladders, and maybe a pencil ladder, which is a narrow ladder that how we get up in the attics. And it's got a pump on it. So it pumps water. It has the onboard water until we get a fixed water supply to us. And a ladder, you know, and the truck company is a ladder truck. So it's got our bucket truck or our straight stick ladder, that are 100 footers.
Okay.
And it has the truck company is a giant toolbox. So it's got a complement of ladders on it. And then it's got the aerial ladder. And then it has, a lot more tools. So it has every fire truck is a toolbox.
Right.
The truck companies are big toolboxes. And neither the truck companies have water on them or a pump.
Okay.
So they can be fed in the back of the trucks. They can be fed for the ladder pipe operations. But we can't pump water from a ladder truck.
There it is. So for those people that inquired in the past, I'm glad I remembered it. I had it here on my notes. Because, again, now you know, when you hear the scanner send a ladder truck or whatever, then you know why they're doing that. And the one thing that I always, as a cop, found absolutely fascinating were the jaws of life.
Mm.
I mean, watch those things in operation, and brother,
it changed everything. Changed everything.
Yes, it did.
Yep. And they've actually changed in recent years. We're going away from the gasoline powered to battery powered. So,
oh, wow.
Not all of our jaws. We have sets of hydraulic jaws that are gas, you know, with a gasoline, you know, motor. But you know, the way of the future are lithium ion batteries, battery packs. They're more versatile. We can bring them in inside. We've brought them inside businesses when someone's, you know, arm or is trapped in machinery, and you can use the spreaders to lift. They're incredible, and you're not tethered anymore. So that's the way of the future, and we're switching as we replace our old outdated jaws. We're buying all battery powered ones from now on.
One last thing before we go. You're going to get the windows fixed in the fire station? Just ask. Don't mean to be a jerk, but I would, and if I can help in any way, you don't want me doing any manual work because.
No. Well, actually right now we're doing engine two. So engine two is getting windows, and upgrade. The kitchen in there was original to 1976.
Wow.
So, all the fire stations, well, engine one is done. Engine five had new windows put in a few years ago. Engine two is getting done now. Engine six is, and then engine six is next. And then headquarters, which is a big building, and it needs a lot of windows because they literally fall out and they get replaced with plywood. So,
but it's so rustic, bucolic plywood in the window.
Yep. Yeah, just driving, you can see them, you know.
Yeah, drive by. Don't worry. They're living in luxury there. Trust me.
Yeah.
Chief, I wish you and all the firefighters and safe careers. You know, as I used to tell these young cops when I see them, you have two goals in life. One is to go home at the end of every shift.
Absolutely.
And two is to retire.
Yeah. Yep. Get as many years out as you had in.
Yeah. Yeah. Please pass on to all the firefighters, all the people that work for the fire service. At least this old fat guy appreciates you. And if you ever have anything you want to get out, like you're doing a demo, just email me and I'll announce it. Like I'm going to do these a couple of announcements here now.
Oh, you bet.
It's always a treat having you on. Because I think it's so informative to the people. I'll get feedback. Well, I didn't know you couldn't plug in a bar, you know, a bus bar or whatever they call it. You're a good man. Stay safe. That diving thing, next time, don't forget your tanks.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I was with you, and we can only hold our breath so long. But all kidding aside, thank you for all that you do for the community. And all your firefighters do for the community. We are in debt. And I will say this. Yes, we are an aging city. But I would also tell you that this fire department understands that we are an aging city.
Absolutely.
Chief, be well, my good friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I got a couple of announcements for you, folks. Don't run away. Chief, you got to see this one. Take your bride to go see Young Frankenstein. You will. It's Mel Brooks. It's playing at the Colonial. It is so funny.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Oh, I got to tell you, I laughed so hard. I had to come home and reunite myself with my two good friends, Ben and Gay. So the other thing is this Friday night at Boulder Dash, there's going to be a concert to raise money for the summer camp at the Berkshire Theater Group, Michael Fabrizio, and it's going to be a tribute and a tribute to David Grover. And Michael Fabrizio will be playing, Kathy Jo Grover and her son will be, Michael will be part of the entertainment. This again, Friday at 5:30. You ready for this, Chief? You better be ready. This could be dangerous. It's back. The St. Joseph's Polish Picnic.
Oh, I saw
the get the ambulances on because I know some people will start the polka, and that'll be it. Down we'll go. Kitty's Land and Polish American foods if you can. The and this is a 1-2. It's very lengthy, so I'm not going to get too much into it. I'm just going to have you call. Berkshire County Historical Society presents Melville Symposium, August 1st through the 5th. August 1st and 3rd through the 5th. It's John Dixon, Warren Broderick. They're all doing things on that. Give a call to Leslie Hirschberg, 413-442-1793. And find out more about it. I believe it's, let me just double check. I think it's extension 10. Yes, it is. 413-442-1793, extension 10. Thanks, everybody, and to the chief and all the firefighters and all the police and all public safety people. God bless. And today, for us, let's make somebody's day a little bit brighter. You know, in this world, we only got each other. So let's take care of each other. No place for hatred. Chief, you are the best. Take care.
You're so good.
And make sure you see Frankenstein. You'll laugh your head off. Bye, everybody.